Bibles with me this morning to, I forgot where I was going, First Peter. You know, I was this week I saw something on Facebook, I think Kim had put it on there, and it was about think before you speak, and it was an acrostic on the word think, and the T said, is it truthful? The H was, is it helpful? The I was it inspiring? The N is, what is it necessary? And the K was, is it kind? There's all kinds of words that are spoken in this world. And the question that God's posing to all of us today and the direction I'm going and being led in the word to is, who are you listening to? Who's speaking? So look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 25. I'll start there. When you're there, say amen. Hallelujah. I want to get hold of this first statement. On verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Times and seasons will change, but he remains the same. We're living in a time when men and women are trying to change the word of God to adjust it to the time and the season that we're in. And God says that he does not change. When he said it, he meant it, because what he speaks is the truth and there's no lie in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, so as the body of Christ, we're going to get a hold of something today. He says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Then he says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Or in other words, he's good and he's kind. Hallelujah. You know, so he's talking about, hey, the word of the Lord stands forever. So he's telling us that we got to lay some things down. Hello? We got to lay some things down. It's D-Day. Today is decision day. Today is a day where we make a decision. You know, none of us in this room are promised tomorrow. This may be our last day. It may be the last moment. You know, any time the Bible says the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. I don't know when that time is. But I'll be ready for such a time as now. It could happen in a moment. He says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know about you, but if you twinkle or blink your eyes, that's pretty quick. Is that quick? But he wants us to lay down disgust and deceit and disguise and distraction and degradation. That's what these words mean. God wants us to walk in full liberty that he's purchased for you and I on the cross of Calvary. Amen. So today, the title of this morning's message is simply, who's speaking? What is Satan saying? What are you saying? And what is God saying? Amen. And what we're saying and what God is saying should agree. And if we agree with what God says, then we'll see things change. So many people are looking for change, and all God's waiting for them to change. Amen? You know, all he's saying to you and I is in the body of Christ is, will you change your mind concerning me? Amen?
Amen.
So let's lift our word up and make a declaration in the house today, and let's just see where God's going to take us with this today. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for sending your word to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that you sent it to this house to accomplish something in each and every heart of each and every one that is gathered in this house today. Father, I pray again, Father God, as before and many times before. Speak through me today, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. If they drifted away, may this be the day of their return. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and honor and praise, for we gathered for one purpose and one reason, to glorify your name. So we say, have your way in this house today, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, turn with me to John chapter 8. What first thing we're saying is, what is Satan saying? What is Satan saying? I want you to understand that there's no such thing as a half-truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A half-truth will never make you free. A half-truth is a half a lie. God is not double-minded. God is not unstable in his ways. So when these things that come out and twist the truth, we need to recognize who's saying it and who's speaking it. Amen? And John chapter 8, Jesus gives us a little clearer understanding about our adversary. And John 8, 44, he said, you're of your father. He was talking to the Pharisees, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So wait a minute, I want you to get a hold of something. When the truth is twisted, who's speaking? Satan. All right? Because God does not twist the truth. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And I say of the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. In other words, we are children of God, and Satan is constantly, it's almost there, but it's not there. He constantly goes and twists the truth. Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. All I'm doing is identifying our adversary, okay? Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said. First, questioning God's word. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now God said, if you touch it, you're going to die. That was the truth. And Satan twisted the truth and said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. From the very beginning, When the truth was twisted, when the truth was bought, it became, when the lie was bought, it became death. And because of that death that came there, it came upon all men. And that's how the adversary begins, and he starts twisting the truth. He starts taking things out of context. He starts shifting them around. He always uses twisted devices. Amen? He's very cunning. He's slippery. You know, if you look at a serpent as he's identified with, they're kind of sneaky beasts. They crawl amongst the earth. So look with me in 2 Corinthians. You can have that bulletin. You didn't get one when you came in. Okay. You're welcome. Turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to understand something with me today, church. I want you to get a hold of something today. We live in a time and age when everything's being twisted. Amen. The Apostle Paul says about forgiveness, how important and how valuable it is for us not to hold offense. He says in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." In other words, if you have unforgiveness in your heart will have a place for a root of bitterness. It becomes a canker. And what it does is it keeps you from living life to the fullest. You know what? Unforgiveness actually makes people sick. It gives heart disease, mental breakdown, stress. In other words, let not the sun go down on your anger. Forgive one another while it's called today. It's not benefiting you, and it's not benefiting anyone else. See, that's one of the devices that Satan uses to steal life from you. Sometimes we have a root of bitterness and we have offense in our heart. We're angry and we're mad at someone, and we're going through all this misery, and the other person doesn't even know we're bothered with it. And we're going through, every time we see him, we're going through hell when they're just rejoicing. You know? Who is the author of it? The Bible says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." The only way the weapons can form against you is if you allow them to. In other words, we got to recognize who's speaking. God would never tell you not to forgive. Because he speaks of himself. Because if he told you not to forgive, then he would not forgive. So I can't say that God said this if I'm living in unforgiveness. In other words, sometimes I have to go ahead and take the fall. In other words, I don't care if it's your fault or not. If it's stealing joy, take the blame for it anyway. It wasn't Jesus' fault. He took the blame for you on the cross of Calvary. He took the blame for me. In other words, God wants you to know what's really stealing your peace, your joy, and your health as a root of unforgiveness. You know, we need to let go and let God. Give it to him. You know, not only does he twist it, but he has a twisted form. He transforms himself into an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 12. I kind of like the Apostle Paul's wording in some of these things. Hey, darling. I got to kiss you. There's nothing you can do about it. Verse number 12. The Apostle Paul says, what I do, that I will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, faith without works is dead, be it alone. And what the Apostle Paul was saying here is Satan has transformed himself so he almost looks like God. But if you look at the truth, if it doesn't align with the truth, it's not God. In other words, if we get the Word of God inside of us and we know God's Word according to the Spirit, when it gets off. See, people don't realize it's something. You know, and Satan is subtle. He does things little by little. He doesn't come in a big way. It's the small foxes. In other words, if you take this line and there's a plumb line, and let's say, James, you're a builder, and let's say this plumb line is off 2 degrees, and that plumb line's off 2 degrees, and you got this straight line. It's not much right here, but the farther you go, the wider it gets. Amen? So in other words, God says, and you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that's keeping us free. And he wants us to recognize when these things are spoken, who they're from, that they're not from God. Not everything that sounds good is good. Hello? You ever heard the saying, it sounds too good to be true? Hello? I know something that sounds too good to be true, but it is true. That by my trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation, my sins were removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. I know that according to the Word of God, I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. Amen. And I know one thing, that God didn't take me back to where he delivered me out of. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to say. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, he's saying to us, hey, we need to have understanding and recognize the voice of the liar. And, you know, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober. Be vigilant or awake. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's not only a roaring lion, or like a roaring lion, he's a roaring liar. A roaring liar. Amen? So, what is Satan saying? What are you saying? You know, life and death are in the power of our tongues. It's important that we speak according to God's word. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, King David had taken all the men out to a battle that wasn't his battle. And when he took them out, the armies came in and stole and took all of their families and took them hostage. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6, the word of God says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's times when you're not going to be around anyone else. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, and thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. God wants you to hear something today. That everything the adversary has stolen from you, God will return to you. God will bring back every last thing that the enemy has stolen. It may look dire, it may look deep, it may look like there's no way, but God is greater than any adversity, he's greater than any storm, he's greater than any weapon the enemy can form against your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He loves you. He has a plan in your life, and his plans are for good, and he brings no evil. His plan is to give hope and us expected end. I don't know about you, but I can't help but praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like David, it looked dire. It looked like there was no way, but they lost nothing. Matter of fact, when they went and took them, they overtook the enemy, and they brought back more than was taken. Hallelujah. I know the enemy has been trying to steal from your health, your wealth, your family, your emotions. He's coming every different direction. But the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a storm, the Spirit of God will lift a standard against them, and God's raising a standard on your behalf. In other words, you've got to trust him. You've got to believe that he's going to. You've got to see the answer, not the problem. But if you keep seeing the problem, you'll speak into the problem instead of the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, let's not feed and give the adversary any more weapons than he already has. Amen. We know he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and the abundance thereof. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? Turn me to 2 Corinthians 13. He sent the word and healed my disease. He is the Lord, my healer. I know.
You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
Amen. And 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Word of God says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates or rejected. Amen? Amen? I know this. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Repeat after me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I say it again. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. In other words, I've got to get a hold of it. You know, if I don't get a hold of it, the adversary is going to beat me. He's going to beat me left and right. He's going to give me an uppercut. He's going to give me a chokehold. Amen. And I know this. See, he can't do it. Because you know what? The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold, casting down every imagination that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then sometimes we have to say, Satan, tell him, Satan, get behind me. Your place is never in front of me. He's under your feet. Amen. Step on them. Stomp them out. Amen. Oh, you must be the only two bothered by them today. Let's give him a stomp. Go ahead, Barbie.
I thought that's what you wanted us to do.
Why don't you do it again? I'm trying to get the people to catch it, but they're just watching YouTube. Stomp the feet. Hallelujah. Hey, we can have some fun in church. Hey, let me tell you something. There's nothing dead about God. Now, God didn't call us to be the chosen frozen. He wants you to get thawed out a little bit.
Amen.
Loosen up. Loosen up. Shake a little bit. Come on. Shake. Shake, rattle, and roll. That's what they originally did in the Holy Ghost. The place shook, they rattled, and they rolled. That's when they came up with the holy rollers. Okay. I got the move on look. How about turn me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm getting somewhere. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Love lifted me when nothing else would work. Amen. Look at one next to you and say, it's, well, what are you saying? Ask him a question. What are you speaking? What are you saying? I say this. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually be on my lips. Are y'all talking to one another? Hallelujah. We're trying to open lines of communication here. Spoken and heard. Spoken and heard. Spoken and heard. Hallelujah. We say it a lot, but if life is different than the power of tongue, man, we got to speak some life into situations. We got to stop feeding the death part of it. Amen. We got to stop feeding the adversary and feed ourselves in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Amen. It's just like seed time and harvest. Harvest is getting ready to come. I believe there's a time of the Spirit and God's going to move in a mighty way. I believe the glory of the Lord is just on the brink of breaking through. I believe things are going to shift and change all around us. I know that before Jesus returns, there's a harvest of souls like never before. I think the glory is going to come to the nations. The glory is going to come here and go to the nations. The glory is going to come back in the West Virginia. We've been talking about that. We've been meeting about that. The glory is going to visit all around the world, and things are going to be changed in a moment. Things that you've been waiting for a long time, in just a moment, things are going to change. Amen. I believe right now I'm going to speak it and prophesy it in the name of Jesus. I believe right now there's a shifting in the heavenlies. I see the shifting taking place in the heavenlies. The shifting is taking place, and there's getting ready. It's getting ready to rain. 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 It's going to be a downpour. It's going to be a drenching rain. It's going to be a saturating rain. It's going to be a soaking rain. It's beginning to rain. Hallelujah. I can just feel the mist in the atmosphere. I can feel that feeling. You know when you're going to get a big thunderstorm? And you can sense it in the atmosphere and the spirit. There's something getting ready to shift. I'm telling you what, there's a shifting that's taking place, man. There's a shifting that's taking place. You can see it in the heavenlies. Things are shifted. There's a battle, that's a warfare that's taking place in the heavenlies, and there's going to be a breakthrough. Amen. And those sons and daughters and those people that you've been praying for and you've been hoping for, they're coming to the Father. They belong to him. Your sons and your daughters, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they belong to the Lord. That's your heritage as children of God. You declare them. You claim them. You proclaim them. You don't look with your natural eyes. You see it according to what God said. You see it according to his word. And God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man. He needs to repent. God said it, and he's going to do it. We ought to give him a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The psalmist says in Psalm 68, hallelujah. I might lose my voice before this one's over. Hallelujah. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You know what I love? Now, I've worked for some different corporations, and I had different corporations myself, and we had insurance packages, and we had benefit packages. But, man, what a benefit package I have in the kingdom of God. Have you read about your benefits? Hello? This is all the promises of God. All the promises of him are yes and amen. Amen? So let's look at just a couple of benefits real quick. Look at me, Psalms 103. That's a good place to look. Yes. Hallelujah. Psalms 103:1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Can somebody give God some praise? Hallelujah! Anybody feeling stronger? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. What is God saying to you? What are you saying to yourself? Man, I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I remind myself who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. I remember when I used to train people in sales, I would tell them to go to the mirror and speak positive things in their life that they're going to be successful. Because anyone that felt like they were going to be unsuccessful, they were normally unsuccessful. Because it was their mindset. You know? So I would look in the mirror and I would say how great I was. But now I look in the mirror, that was before Christ. But now I look in the mirror and I say how great he is. Hello? We just sang about it, right? We just sang about how great thou art, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, okay? I want you to get a hold of what God says about you. Turn to me, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll shut this down here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 9. This is what God says about you. He says, but you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look the one next to you and say, God says that you're chosen, that you're royal, that you're holy, that you're peculiar. Will you praise him? Let's praise him together. Hallelujah! You know, the psalmist says in Psalms 1, he says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he doeth meditate day and night. He is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf withereth not. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God wants you to understand what he says about you. What he's saying about you and I I'll just close with this. Psalms 32. I was going to close with that one, but y'all weren't ready. It would just be me closing. You know how I know when you're ready for me to close? Because I get affirmation. No affirmation, I got to keep going. Can anybody be happy here today? Come on. You know you're going to leave this place, you're going to face all kinds of adversity this week. God brings you into his house and calls you into his house so he can refresh you, so he can renew you, so he can prepare you. This is a Holy Ghost pep rally. Hallelujah. It's a Holy Ghost pep rally. Can we get a little excited about Jesus in the house? Come on now. Can we get excited about him? You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 32, verse number 1, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. I want to say one last thing before I close. Holy Spirit just rang it in my heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 6, listen to this. When you're speaking about blessings, blessed comes from the Greek word makarios, which makarios means well off. Well off. Jesus said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of the God that I serve. I serve him with joy. I serve him with joy. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.